AM 1450, FM 99.3, KNSI. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Osaic Wealth Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Gens Financial is located in St. Cloud and can be reached by calling 320-258-3688. Kevin Bright in studio, Niles Gens, a well-deserved day away.
Oh, yeah. How you doing?
I'm great. It's been a while. How about you?
It's been a little bit. I'm happy to be back.
Yeah. What's been going on in your world?
Well, not a whole lot. Did some deer hunting last weekend. Didn't fill any tags, but still fun going. And just getting ready for winter stuff coming up here now.
So, busy at Gens Financial Services.
We've been busy. Yeah, we're getting caught up here. We had a little break between workshops. Got some more rolling in December early on. So still some spots open for those. And we're just trying to catch up on what's changing for 2025 as well.
Folks, if you want to find out that schedule, GensFinancial.com, G-E-N-T-Z, GensFinancial.com. Of course, their telephone number, 258-3688. And this end of the year kind of knocking on the door, isn't it?
It is. And of course, when that happens, us as planners, we're always looking at what's coming up. And there's a few changes I want to get into here. Along with some 7 retirement moves to make before 2025 as well.
Kevin, how long you been doing this?
I've been in the industry now, coming up on 9-10 years, actually.
Okay, so you've gone through a few election cycles.
I have.
Right? And as most people that have any kind of odometer miles on them, they're going to say, take a deep breath. The sky, this is one of Niles' favorite things, the sky is not falling.
Right.
Right. Grass is green, water's wet, sky's blue, everything is good. Regardless of what your feelings are on the election, let's all take a deep breath and just kind of relax because you know what? I think things are going to be okay.
Exactly. You know what I'm excited about is no more political ads.
Yeah, there is that, huh?
Oh, man. I was getting a little wearisome there.
A little thick.
Yeah. We're post-election now and the lights still turn on, it seems like, and we're still cruising through, so... we control, and that's past us now. We're looking at, what's going on. Obviously, the market's been up for the most part. It's moving around a little bit, so we're closely paying attention to that. But outside of that, it's moves to protect yourself as well, because we can't control the market, right? We kind of wait and see what's going to happen. But there's moves like Social Security and other savings accounts that we could take advantage that are lower risk. I want to get into here. We're not necessarily always talking about stocks and bonds and things like that. It's the smaller moves that can maybe keep moving that needle for you. One of them I want to get into first is Social Security. It's one of the top 7 moves made before 2025 because so many people depend on Social Security.
Right.
And we've talked about this on the show already. We have another cost of living adjustment coming 2025, I believe it's about 2.5.
Yeah, only 2.5. Yep.
Yeah. So, $50 or so a month per check for retirees. So,
and while people scoff at that, come on, $600 a year is $600 a year.
Exactly. It's better than a sharp stick to the eye.
$50 can take care of a payment somewhere, maybe a prescription somewhere. So.
Well, exactly. And, they could have set it at zero since we've had some nice ones the last few years.
Right.
Obviously, inflation's come down a little bit. The Fed's made another rate cut right after the election. A lot of people didn't see that because of all the other stuff going on.
Yep. So they're back up to 6.88%, by the way. Just want to throw that out.
Yeah, and we're waiting to see how that's going to affect things long term. And if there are more cuts coming too, that may drive the market, so to speak. But,
sure.
But getting back to the Social Security and why it's so important to be strategic about this, and not just pull it right away because it's there, is because there's a lot of money on the table with this. With Social Security and retirees, in general, 62 is the first year you could start it. Now, obviously, if there's a widow or widower, 60, that's a different conversation. But 62 is what we'll go off of right now. And what they look at is the 35 highest earning years you've had and index it for inflation. That's how they get your Social Security numbers.
Now, you have done what must seem like a gazillion seminars on Social Security over at the library, right? The Mississippi Room?
Yeah, we've had some really good turnouts. I mean, I've had up to 50 people in the room at a time.
Yeah.
It's really cool to see. It's all educational, really a no-pressure deal. It's more education on the topic because so many people get their information from sources that don't necessarily know what they're talking about,
right.
Whether it's a friend or a neighbor.
And everybody's different, though,
yeah.
right? Everybody's Social Security is going to be different because your lives are different. You have made more money, less money than the person sitting next to you.
Right. And you know, everybody's family's different.
Right.
You know, if there's a health scare or health thing going on, that can push people to take it early. And we have clients all across the board on this. And some we want them to wait, but they need to pull it early, so to speak, to make ends meet.
Right.
And that's okay.
Right.
We got to work with what's in front of us. And others I sit down with, they say, look, you're looking at the trigger point of 62. We have ways to help you so you can wait and keep those dollars growing, and at least until what they call the FRA, that full retirement age. That's where you get your full check.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get to that point, it's a pretty good place to be. But then if you still don't need it, and you got, you know, some pension income or investment income or annuity income, something coming in to help bridge the gap for a little bit, if you wait from that full retirement age to 70, we have an 8% increase every year just by waiting.
Right.
So
very important.
Yeah, very important. And I like to look at it and make it simple terms. If I told you you could have an 8% return on an account,
oh boy,
with no risk, and all you got to do is wait, yeah, absolutely, sign me up. You know, that's a good place to be.
Yeah.
And that's where you got to look at it. So, all right, well, I'm going to delay the income out of this thing, but I'm having some nice steady increases. And then by the time somebody hits 70, it makes no sense to wait. You might as well take it at that point. You've maxed it out.
Right.
And the difference between somebody pulling it, if we use 67 as a full retirement age in this example,
yeah.
again, it's based on somebody's birth date, we'll use 67. If somebody pulls it at 62 versus 70 in this conversation, it's a 77% difference.
Wow.
That's a pretty staggering number.
That's a lot of money.
And once this thing's on, you can't just call them 2 years from now and say, hey, look, I made a wrong move. I want to turn it off. And mm-hmm. there's, you know, you could volatility suspend it and things like that. But that's a different conversation. Once it's on, it's on.
Yeah.
That's the best way to look at it. So we got to make sure we're careful with this.
Okay. Let's look at the other side of the coin. Let's look at Bob Hughes. Okay. My FRA was 66.4.
Okay.
I've been collecting my check ever since, straight into savings, right? That's where it's going, mm-hmm. period. That's it. I'm fortunate enough to be able to work. Right. And the money that I make here, we're able to take care of our bills. So all of this stuff is just going into the savings account. Now, I'm not earning very much interest in that savings account. Right. But I still am earning a little bit of interest. Again, my check is going in there. I'm able to watch that balance go up every single month.
Mm-hmm.
Would I have liked now? I look back at hanging on till the age of 70. Yeah. But, you know, I'm doing OK that way.
Yeah, and it, like I said,
but again, it's different for everybody.
Yeah, different for everybody, different circumstances. You know, if it is on, just like you said, take care of it. Put it into something that
don't
has interest. Make sure it's your safe money, your everyday. You know, cover the bills, cover the house insurance, car, things like that.
Yep.
You know, we have different buckets of money we're working with. Some of it's going to be that safer money where it's going to earn a little bit along the way, and some. Yeah, you're going to put more towards equities and go after some more risk in return.
One of the things that we have done as a couple is to take some of that money from my savings account. Now it's our savings account and roll it over to a financial institution where you can do a money market thing and earn some pretty darn good interest that way.
Yeah, and that's kind of the next topic here, number two, with the savings accounts is you take advantage of those money market rates. In the last couple of years have been way up. I mean, you could have signed up for money market account and earn 4 or 5%.
We're at about 4.5 right now. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty darn good. I mean, it moves it along.
Yeah.
It's not a crazy high interest, but steadily keeps going. And you know, if the market's going to fluctuate quite a bit, you're not going to lose a bunch.
You know, slow and steady really does win the race, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, you know, make sure when you're doing these savings accounts, you're looking for some of that FDIC backing,
right.
That's where they cover you up to $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
So what I tell clients all the time is it's okay to have a pretty good savings account, but it really doesn't make sense to have over $250,000 sitting in there because that's past the protection amount.
Right.
So you want to spread it out. You still want to diversify that, so to speak. And once in a while, I have clients that have a ton in savings, which is great. You know, they've done well and maybe debt-free, and we say, look, we need to maybe push our risk up a little bit,
mm-hmm.
Push the envelope and go after a little more return because that's okay too. you want to be at a happy medium.
Speaking of risk, you guys have Riskalyze software. Folks, if you are wondering where you should be in your retirement planning, oh, for gosh sakes, give Gens Financial a call, 258-3688. Go online. You can find out more about the Riskalyze software at gensfinancial.com, G-E-N-T-Z, gensfinancial.com.
Yeah, and like you said, it's a good program, Riskalyze. I think they're called Nitrogen now. We still call them Riskalyze.
It's really cool to be able to sit down,
plug in exact holdings for an account, because it gives us an overview. And then we have clients take their own test at home, which we call a gut check test. It's like 12 questions, and it gives their own personal score for how they feel about the market or where they want to be. Once in a while, those scores are very different when we compare them. Portfolio score versus personal score. Mm-hmm. And if there's a big gap, well, then we got some fixes to make. And sometimes it's dialing back the risk, and sometimes it's dialing it up. It depends on where you're at. And sometimes we have people that land pretty darn close, and we say, look, you're on track with where you want to be. And we look to see if there's other things we can help out with if everything's set up. But once we have clients sit down for a review and we say, look, you're on track and doing the right things, let us know if you have anything else we can help out with.
And something else that I think is really, really important, Kevin, is it's never too late, right? You can always start to put money away. Please do that.
Absolutely. The sooner the better, obviously, but it's never too late to get in and start the planning early and start tucking some money away, whether it's in the retirement accounts you have in front of you at work or if it's a Roth IRA outside of there. Could be that HSA account that's now add it on a work plan if you have it. I mean, that's a good way to set yourself up for coverage with medical stuff.
Yeah, max those babies out if you can.
Absolutely. Things coming up with these retirement accounts and 2025 changes in front of me here. So we had some limitations go up, which I was expecting. Again, 401ks went from 23,000 in 2024 going up to 23,500. That's how much you can put in per the year. Mm-hmm. So as we're nearing the end of this year, if you wanted to contribute more and bring down some taxable income, 401ks might be a way to do it. Could be the IRA. This year, it's at 7,000. Looks like it's going to remain at 7,000 for next year. Now, when you're over 50 and you want to contribute to an IRA, then you have the catch-up contribution where it goes to 8,000.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little more wiggle room there. And so for those of you that are starting the planning a little bit later along the road here, we want to max out that 8,000 as quick as possible. Look at a Roth or IRA or mix of them.
Sure.
Obviously, one's taxable and one's taxed now.
You know, Kevin, the reason that I brought up the fact that it's never too late to start saving, I mean, we're talking about amounts of money here that may seem completely out of reach for a lot of people, right? Like an $8,000 contribution, right? Mm-hmm. But you know what? You have to start somewhere, right? People that have the wherewithal to make a contribution like that, they may not have always had that kind of cash laying around, but they were disciplined enough to start saving money, to put stuff away, so that when those opportunities arise, you can take advantage of them.
Well, that's right, and it doesn't have to be done in one full swoop.
Right.
We have people that do $100, $200 a month and maybe do a catch-up contribution at the end of the year, depending on what kind of work they're in or where they're at. So it's you space it out, and the first place you can look to squeeze more out of that budget is, one, having that budget of your month-to-month of how expenses are rolling in and going out. And is there things we can trim down? Do we need all the subscriptions? Do we need, certain things for activities, fun stuff that we're doing?
Yeah.
Can we trim some of that out and squeeze out another $100, $200 to add to these accounts? That's usually the first spot to look.
I put up an antenna in our new house. We get some 200-plus channels.
Nice.
From an antenna that I paid, I think, $40 bucks for. Okay?
Yeah.
Imagine it's a one-time expense. How many channels do you need on your television? Well, no, you probably don't.
Well, exactly. And it's crazy how many times I meet with people now, and it's like, hey, I still hold on to my cable subscription, but I'm also, have YouTube TV or Hulu or something else. It's like, all right, well, pick one of them and go with it. I mean, really look at if it's costing you $250 a month for TV and entertainment, let's call it entertainment.
Yeah.
You're probably overpaying there. And that's usually where people can trim that back. Check out the other bills, stay on top of them, make sure they're not going out of whack. Like phone bill,
insurance, shop for insurance.
Yeah, shop around for that stuff. You're not stuck with any of it. You gotta pay attention to what's out there and look at it month to month, or you'll never know if you can tweak it.
We switched carriers not too long ago when we got the new house back in June, July, and we knocked $1,000 off of our insurance costs.
Good for you.
Not so bad.
That's a big deal.
You know, it is, and I'd never even think about that if it weren't for Niles Gens and having this conversation every Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
I just let it roll.
That's what we're here to help.
Absolutely, and it works. That's the thing. Stop ignoring this, folks. It works. You can do it. You can make it work. Where are we now? Do you want to run through some of those other things when it comes to IRAs and 401ks and stuff?
Yeah, so we talked about the 401k contribution limit and the IRA contribution. Pay attention as well if you're a higher earner. There's some phase-outs with the IRAs. The single phase-out, $79,000 to $89,000 in earned income. If you're a joint married couple, it's $126,000 to $146,000. So what that means with phase-out is if your income falls within there, you can't contribute as much. This is where you're going to want to work with your CPA to say, here's what we're anticipating for an income for the year. And they'll come back with, here's how much you can actually add.
Gotcha.
If you're under that first dollar limit, it's the $7,000, or if you're over 50, $8,000.
Okay. So. Now, you are not a CPA.
Correct. I'm not a CPA.
You are not a lawyer.
I'm not a lawyer.
You're a financial advisor.
But we work with CPAs and lawyers, and we have the connections. We share an office building here in St. Cloud with CPAs, so
now,
we can get you to them.
I was just going to mention that the 2025 tax cuts, the Trump tax stuff that was set to expire, for some odd reason, I bet it's not going to expire now.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, that's one of the things I was waiting to see it's going to happen because I work with it, and it's kind of a boring thing to talk about. But when it comes up and you look at, well, what's my tax rate, it makes a big difference, especially if you're saving for retirement in your day-to-day, or if you're in retirement, pulling out of those IRAs and 401ks, how much you're getting hit with taxes.
You know what, Kevin, I really appreciate what you just said, because when we start talking about taxes, it can be a very boring thing, right? Your eyes will glaze over like most people's do, but stop to think about it differently, because little things add up to big things, right? Mm-hmm. So when you start being able to put money away to understand and realize what all of these changes can do for you, it's a good thing.
It absolutely is. And you got to pay attention to it. And a lot of it's just looking at this stuff, on a monthly basis or weekly, whatever's comfortable, and just knowing what's going on with that paycheck, or, if you're pulling from IRAs and you're at that stage, how much you're pulling out and making sure you're not jumping tax brackets.
Yeah, I think you need to do this kind of stuff, have your own personal review. I would say every six months you should do this. Do you think it should be done more than that?
Well, I'd say with spouses in your household, sit down and look at the budget, I'd say on a monthly basis.
Okay.
And then every, couple months, 6 months, if you want to call it that, look at where taxes are at, what earned income maybe is looking like.
How
your plan's unfolding, because I always tell people, even if I gave you a perfect plan now and 5 years from now, it might look completely different.
Well, what if you have another child? What if something goes on, right? A life-changing event. So, you can make the plan, but you got to follow up.
Yeah, there's always variables to it, so we got to be able to adjust. And sometimes it's looking at it going, well, maybe I didn't plan to save in that HSA, that work offer, the IRA, and now I kind of want to. Then let's get on and be proactive with it so you can take advantage of that stuff.
Deductions, tax brackets, HSAs, earned income tax credits, all of these things you need to stay on top of.
Yeah, and I'd say a lot of places now are offering the HSA, whether you're with a county or with the state or outside of there. And, for everybody listening, HSA health savings account, that's where you can tuck money into and use it for medical expenses. And if it's deducted out of your paycheck, it's before taxes.
Right.
And if you use it appropriately, that money does not get taxed.
Right.
So that's a big deal. And, you start setting that up and $50 comes out of the paycheck every month. And all of a sudden down the road, you have a couple grand sitting there. Well, what that does for you is if a health something comes up, or you need, glasses, contacts, or whatever it may be, something health-wise, boom, that account's there to pull from.
It's kind of like an emergency fund. For health stuff.
It is.
Right? And you can have that done automatically. Once you hit the age of 65, however, you don't get to contribute anymore.
Correct.
So, folks, max that out.
Yep. Take advantage of it. They changed this a year or two ago. It's a family-based plan, depending on the employer and who you do benefits through.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's up to $8,500 now. And a lot of times what I'm seeing is companies will do like a 50% match.
Right.
So if you have a high deductible health plan, they'll contribute to it. And then you have the option to also contribute, which definitely makes sense.
It's more free money.
You do half the work. They do half the work.
Yeah.
You have free money sitting there that continuously stays year and year end if you don't use it. So it's different than some of the former accounts. And then if you retire or leave the company, that comes with you. It doesn't just go away. That's a big deal. And even if you're in Social Security phase, your health savings account can still be there to use for medical expenses.
Kevin, do you think it's important for people to have a tax preparer? And I know it depends. Everybody's needs are different and all of that kind of stuff. But I think that when you start moving up in life, moving on in life, right, 45, 50, 60 years of age, I think that a tax professional can really help out.
Yeah, I mean, they take the, just like with the financial advising, they take the emotional aspect out of it,
yep,
and look at,
yep,
here's what we should do and what we should consider.
Yeah.
You know, find a good CPA they get along with. There's a bunch of them in town. We have some we work with in our building. But I think it makes sense if things get more complicated.
Yeah.
You get outside of just the W-2 filing. You know, if it's just W-2s you're doing and a few other things, great. Use one of the tax softwares out there. But if you're looking at many different things and, you know, you're doing some not only contributions, but you're giving to charity and things like that. You're setting different things up. It makes sense to have a tax preparer,
yep,
another person on your team to work with and ask questions to.
You may spend a little money, but you're going to save a lot of money is what I'm looking at right there. And again, these are all things, these tax laws, my God, the code is what? 3.5 miles thick or something like that now.
Yeah.
So how is a regular person supposed to know what the best options are? That is where a tax professional can certainly help.
Yeah, and that they obviously live and breathe this. You know, tax season's coming up very quickly for them. And they know all these changes. They have the software in front of them to help work with them on it, make sure you're taking advantage of, for example, like the earned income tax credit.
Right.
People have three more children in 2025. That amount's going to be $8,046. It's the increase from $216. So if that's something you're eligible for and you haven't taken advantage of, that's something a tax preparer can help you with. Health savings accounts, they might ask you about that. I bring it up, but you know, you can do up to that $8,500, and that's going up in 2025 to the $8,500 number. So there's a lot of different things, other different credits to be aware of, and they can help with that.
AM 1450, FM 99.3, KNSI. Kevin Bright in for Niles Genz, Genz Financial Services. AM 1450, FM 99.3, KNSI. 836 right now. Genz Financial Services phone number 258-3688, online at gensfinancial.com. Niles out today. Kevin Bright is in studio. And Kevin, I wanted to ask you something that I think is really, really important. I asked you this off the air. We started talking about when we were younger and living paycheck to paycheck. And I think this is really important because it doesn't always have to be that way. Now, when you're younger, I get it, mm-hmm, right? You're raising your kids, got to worry about a mortgage payment, an apartment rental payment, your car payment. Oh, my God, one of the kids is sick. What do I do now, right? So let's talk about that just a moment, because I think that people have this misnomer about financial advisors that, you know, they've always been well off. They've always had this tons of money to deal with, and, oh, that's how they learn their. It hasn't been that way, has it?
No, I mean, it comes in steps. You're not just going to turn over one day and everything's in line. Like, it took me a bit, my early 20s, to figure that out, going from paycheck to paycheck to creating just a budget, you know, getting on board with, here's what's coming in per month. This is what you need to work with. And like we talked about, it starts with maybe $50 a month that you're now pulling out of that budget, pulling into savings, and it jumps up and it keeps going. And you get to a point where, hey, you know what, I've got a month's worth of salary saved, and I don't have to worry about the pennies and dollars at the end of the month. I have a couple hundred dollars or maybe a couple thousand saved.
Yep.
And then your stress level just comes down going forward, because you're not scrambling at the end of the month. And like I said, this is going to take some time And this goes back to that budgeting conversation of just knowing exactly how every dollar's used, making sure that you're reviewing expenses, reviewing what you've signed up for with entertainment stuff or, you know, whatever it may be, cutting back and going out to eat, cutting back on just going out in general type of thing. And it all helps over time. And you get to a point where, you know, you're not worrying about the end of the month, making sure you have every cent there, you have money there to help out.
You know, when the difference happened for me was when I stopped cashing my check every Friday at the bank, right? When all of a sudden there was this thing called direct deposit and all of that, because I'm sorry, you know, when I'm young and I got a couple hundred bucks in my pocket, look out, I'm going to go have some fun, right?
Yeah.
Then after a while, it kind of starts dawning on you. Yeah. And especially, I mean, in all seriousness, when you start having a wife and children, all of those things, you want to move up the ladder like you're supposed to, the American dream, right? It only makes sense.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes with, you know, whoever you bank with, credit union, bank, local bank, large bank, they have within their website or their, if it's an app they're using, we can set up an automatic amount to pull out of that check or to pull out of what's coming in to go to savings.
Yep.
So if you said, all right, I'm going to have, you know, $100 this month automatically pulled out and whatever's sitting over, that's what I'm going to use for my bills and for my fund money. Once that's done, it's done.
Done. Yep.
But you can't load up the plastic. You gotta be able to pay that off per month. And that's a big one that catches people. Obviously, things have been expensive lately, so it's been very difficult.
Yeah.
But you just got to put one foot in front of the other and figure out where you can squeeze that budget, or maybe to pick up extra odd jobs, things like that to help with the income coming in. But we see it all the time. We've all been through it, Niles and I both. It's not like we just stepped into this field like, hey, we're doing well and you don't have to worry about budgeting
overnight,
and things like that.
Right.
No, it affects everybody in different ways. And it's never too late to sit down and put one together.
All right, folks. Very simple to do. Well, I'm not going to say it's simple. It takes dedication. It takes work. But you can do it, no doubt. Gens Financial Services, their telephone number, 258-3688, online at gensfinancial.com, G-E-N-T-Z, gensfinancial.com. I keep interrupting you. I'm sorry, Kevin. Where are we on the list?
Yeah, we were just finishing up talking about you know, some of the plans changing for next year, 401ks, IRAs, HSAs. Pay attention to those. Make sure, you know, we have a window for 2024 yet going into April to add into those.
Yep.
And then you can start doing 2025 stuff. If you got questions on it, you know, we're here to help, obviously, or work with a professional that you've been working with and figure this stuff out. But also some of the other things, well, with the benefits coming up, a lot of jobs are saying, hey, you got to sign up for 2025.
Right.
Sit down and review those.
Yep.
I just did last night with my spouse and what changes we have in ours and what they're offering. You know, we both had questions like, what the heck does this new you know, step up plan mean? What does that involve? So we'd pull up the PDF and look at it and go, well, do we need any of this? You know, do we need the advanced vision stuff right now? Maybe not. Maybe we'll need it down the road, but you figure out what that's going to cost per month. Cause, obviously you want coverage. You don't want to be over covered if you're not going to use it, but you want to be, at a spot where, you know, if I am a glasses wearer, contacts wearer, that I'm signing up for the vision and, you know, I have, other coverages, maybe it's long-term or short-term disability. So review the plans coming up for your benefits and make sure you know exactly what you have.
I would still put you in the newlywed category. Has it been a year?
Yeah, it's been a year. It was a year in September here.
Okay. So. So new wife, she's got a new husband, and you know, you have to get together on these things, don't you?
Yeah, because before she had her plan, obviously I had mine because we weren't married yet, and then we got married. I went on to her plan. And you know, it's been really good. We've been able to talk through a bunch of things and what we each prefer, but also just look at overall what makes sense for us.
Yeah.
And then,
cause everybody's different.
Yeah.
Right. Just like Social Security, everybody's different.
Yep. And you really do got to compare what they're offering. Cause so, like the one we looked at last night, there was like five different options and we wanted to go the high deductible route with the HSA because their company was now willing to contribute to an HSA for the first time. And then it said, well, they're going to do 50%. Let's also do 50%. And we have a nice chunk going in there and maxing it out for 2025. So things like that. You know, if you got questions, you know, feel free to reach out. But We know a lot, but a lot of times it's sitting down with your HR person at work and asking those questions, reviewing those emails that come through that seem like they're loaded up with documents, but they're all important. Take some time to go through them so you know what works for you and your family.
So things are up in the air right now. Brand new president, Donald J. Trump, taking office January 6th. Some things that we need to keep in mind, even though he is a new president, right? We have to think about RMDs. There's other legal documents like a will. What about charitable giving and all of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, a couple other things and the seven things to look at. So annual exclusion for gifts, it's going to increase to $19,000 from $18,000 this year. What that is if you want to gift money to a person, mm-hmm. You can do up to $18,000 this year per person, so you're not hit with that gift tax. So if it's a husband and wife and you're looking to give to their child, for example, inheritance early, let's call it, mm-hmm. The mom could do $18,000 and the dad could do $18,000 to that kid.
Really?
Yeah. And the parents are the ones that take the responsibility if they go over that limit to pay the gift tax. Gotcha. As long as you're $18,000 and under, you don't get hit with it. In 2025, it's $19,000 and under. So those instances do come up as people are saying, you know, I want to get my inheritance to my kids early.
Yeah.
Don't want to have to wait. Maybe they're afraid of a, nursing home situation coming up down the road. And they want to start giving that out now, or, they're just trying to make the legacy plan work earlier on. Mm-hmm. If your kids are in their 50s and 60s, how long do you wait? You get it to them now, let them start using it if that's the plan. Anyways, this is a way to do it, with this, annual exclusion for gifts. And, you could do it each year if you wanted. Like I said, $18,000 in 2024 and $19,000 in 2025. And then right behind that, the RMD conversation. So this is the required minimum distribution. This is the conversation. It used to be 70.5,
yeah,
where you had to pull out of qualified accounts. Then it bumped to 72. Now it's been at 73 the last year and some months. And it's going to remain there for a bit until they announce any further changes. I know they were looking at pushing it to 75. That's a later on conversation.
Okay.
But for those of you that have a 401k, an IRA, or qualified plan, what I mean by that, hasn't been taxed, you have to pull right around 4% out at age 73 if you haven't done so.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do for our clients is set it up in an automatic pull and just to send it to the bank account to start. What you can start doing is if you don't need those RMDs when you're reaching 70.5 and older, you could start gifting that money to charitables.
Right.
So qualified charitable distribution, as they call it. Since the charity doesn't pay taxes and you won't have to pay taxes since it was gifted to them, it's a win-win situation. Best example I can give. People always want to give to the church.
Right.
If you're in this area of 70.5 or older, you can gift out of your IRA or 401k to the church, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing. You're giving to them. They don't pay the taxes. You don't pay the taxes. It's a win-win, and you took care of your RMD if you're at 73 or older. So it's a big thing to pay attention to. This does not apply to Roth accounts.
Okay.
I want to just caveat that. Roth IRAs, Roth 401ks, those you've already paid the taxes on, so you don't have to do those RMDs.
Okay, I'm just going to throw this out there. If there have been life changes, a divorce, a death, or whatever, and you need to change some things in your documents as far as when you go, who is next in line, right? Make sure that everything has been updated.
Mm-hmm. What they're telling us now is, this is from the law firm we work with, make sure your will, your power of attorney, and your healthcare directive are within 10 years.
Yep.
If they're further out than 10 years, you really should get them updated. Even if there hasn't been any changes, it's just good to keep them current. Sometimes we sit down and it's like, well, you got a will set up. When was it done? 1972.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
right.
Like, well, my gosh, if things changed since then, yep. Well, we got to get the document updated. Even if it costs a little bit now, it's going to save a whole lot down the road if anybody's dealt with probate and estate planning situations.
Yep. We just had some family members get everything updated, and it's amazing just the language in your home ownership documents. The language has to be a certain way, or you could get incur some costs that you wouldn't normally have to. But yeah, make sure your beneficiaries are updated, right? Because, well, an ex-wife could be pretty happy while your current wife could be pretty sad.
Yeah, big misconception I run into is even though the will says one thing, if you have, let's say, a life insurance or an annuity account, something like that, and your beneficiary says different, the insurance company there is going to go off your beneficiary, even though the will says different. They're going to honor the beneficiary. So you got to make sure the beneficiaries are all up to date on your life insurance policies, investment accounts, annuities, any other things you own, and also on your bank accounts. Go in and put a POD on your checking and savings so it transfers direct on death.
Right.
That way the money is there if it's supposed to be meant for the funeral. It's not tied up in probate. So basically what you want left, and we tell this to all the workshops we host, is you want the things in the house, the couch, chinaware, silverware, you know, random items that the kids will go through and figure out what they want and don't want. But the big things like the actual house, vehicles, retirement accounts, you know, everything outside of there, we want set up to go direct to somebody.
POD or TOD.
Yep.
Right. Payable or transfer.
Trust,
yep.
Goes there as well.
Yep.
We just want it to have direction so it doesn't end up through probate.
You know, you said something that I think is huge, and I would hope folks caught it. When you work with Gens Financial Services, you don't have to worry about missing a deadline like an RMD. They take care of all of that notification for you. So it's even more stress, more weight lifted off your shoulders. The best way to work with Gens Financial Services, 258-3688. Give them a call. You do not have to attend a workshop to set up an appointment, but the workshop schedule is there at gensfinancial.com. And again, the phone number, 258-3688. Kevin, always a pleasure, sir.
Thank you for having me.
I don't know if I'll see you before Thanksgiving. If not, eat lots.
You as well. Happy Thanksgiving, yeah. Everybody.
The elastic pants are invented for a reason, right?
That's right.
AM 1450, FM 99.3, KNSI. Good morning. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Osaic Wealth Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Gens Financial is located in St. Cloud and can be reached by calling 320-258-3688. AM 1450, FM 99.3, KNSI. Promotional consideration paid by Gens Financial Services.